Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and welcome to the weekly podcast, The Unchangeable Truth. We just sit down with Pastor Stephen as he discusses his sermons from Highland Park Baptist Church, and we are honored and thankful that you've decided to listen. And we ask you to go ahead and click that subscribe button, click that like or the follow button. And again, we are honored and thankful that you've decided to listen. So keep listening as Pastor Stephen discusses his weekly sermon. Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we are here with Pastor Stephen. And today we're going to do something a little bit different. We are going to ask a question. And this question is kind of a theological question that we could discuss, and hopefully Pastor Stephen can give some insight on this. The question is, does God ever change his mind? So, Pastor Stephen, I'm sure, or maybe do you get this question from a lot of people? Does God ever change his mind?
Yeah, I mean, it is a question that I've received over 30 years of ministry. I mean, it's an honest question.
Yeah.
You sit there, and especially the way we approach prayer, we may not sit there and say, yeah, God changes his mind, but a lot of times we approach prayer as though God changes his mind. If I just pray hard enough, long enough, he'll change his mind. And honestly, there are even some scripture that contextually, if you don't read it right, then it even says, depending on what translation you use, and God changed his mind.
We don't take scripture out of context.
No, never, right? Never, none of us. But yeah, it is. It's a legit question that that really, it says, well, the way that question is answered, it says a lot more than just God changing his mind or changing an action or a decision. It carries a lot more weight than just an outcome. And one of the things when it comes to God changing his mind is, it's not really a trivial thing, I don't think it's anything that we need to overlook, but instead, as you mentioned, it's a huge theological concept. It comes under the doctrine known as the immutability of God. And you say, okay, immutability, I have no idea what that means, or that's what I would probably have said. Immutable means this. It means not susceptible to or not capable of change. God cannot change, which is hard for us because we all change.
Right.
I mean, we sit there and how many times during our life is it, example, how many of us as kids, we want to be a firefighter, or we want to be an NFL quarterback, or whatever the case may be, and then all of a sudden we look back and we kind of laugh about it because we've grown up, life has changed, you could even say we've matured, and we have changed, and as a result, our dreams and our hopes and our desires, all those things have changed. And so since everything changes, then God surely has to change. Well, what is he going to change into? Is he going to become a better God?
Right.
A bigger God? A more mature God? Even a more qualified God? So if he changes the way that we change based upon age and based upon environment and all those kinds of things, then surely God's got to change his mind about certain things.
Well, that goes against his nature, though.
It goes against the nature of God to change his mind.
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. A beautiful scripture, or passage of scripture, over in Exodus chapter 32, where it kind of tells the story about Moses, and he's going to the top of Mount Sinai. He's going to receive the Ten Commandments there, and everything's going great. He doesn't know that while he's on top of the mountain with God, everybody at the bottom of the mountain, they've gone full-blown crazy. And Aaron's there, and Aaron's even kind of going crazy as well, and they're you know, they're just frustrated. We want Moses to hurry up. And a lot of them are saying he's not even going to come back down. And so they're like, well, since Moses, our leader, is not going to come back down and he's on top of the mountain with God, he's probably going to stay there. So we've got to have something to worship. Let's build a golden cow. And this is going to be our new and improved God. Naturally, God is angry. So angry that Exodus 32 tells us he wants to destroy them all. I'll just start brand new with Moses, right? Maybe take one of his ribs, give him a wife. We'll start brand new with him because he's faithful to me. And you read the passage of Scripture, and as you're reading Exodus 32, it even says that God's getting ready to just rain down fire on them. And then Moses says, whoa, 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 God, that's not who you are. You're a gracious God. You're a long-suffering God. You're not a God that, quickly destroys. No, this is not who you are. And the Scripture says in the New King James, that's what I use, it says, and God relented from right. what he was going to do, a.k.a. God changed his mind.
Well, and some of the other translations say those exact words, changed his mind.
Sure. So you read that and you're like, you know, right, case solved. God does. God changes his mind. Read Exodus 32. God does change his mind. And in the words of Lee Corso, not so fast.
Right.
Not so fast. Because over in Numbers 23:19, listen to what the Scripture says. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Exodus 32, God's changing his mind. Two books later, Numbers 23, God does not change his mind.
Well, in Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:29 says the same thing. He does not lie. He does not change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. So
yeah,
there's Scripture that supports it.
Sure. And so those that are opponents of Christianity, those who say the Bible is just a book written by mankind, would sit there and say, see, there's a contradiction.
Right.
The Bible contradicts itself because we have Scripture saying he does change his mind, and we have Scripture that says he does not change his mind.
My son Aiden would go, Dad, I'm so confused.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and the problem with because some folks would say, well, it's okay. You can still believe in God and trust in Jesus and trust the Bible, even though it contradicts itself. You can't trust a book that contradicts itself.
Right.
I mean, it disagrees with itself. You just throw it in the trash and live any way you want to. You can make up your own rules because the Bible has contradicted itself. But we know the Bible doesn't contradict itself. And I would say God does not change his mind. And there's a couple of reasons why we can make that comment. These are truths about this nature of God that is unchanging. First of all, God's personality doesn't change. That the God of the Bible is the same God, a personal God. A lot of times people have this ideology that God's some kind of ambiguous force or some floating cloud, that God's just this matter type deal. But no, he has a personality and he is an individual. And when I say that his personality is unchanging, what we're talking about is characteristics.
Right.
They don't change. Right. His love, his mercy, his judgment, his compassion, the very nature of who he is does not change.
Well, then to go along with that, this unchanging nature of God, we also have to look at his promises are unchanging as well. So and the scripture talks about it, Psalm 33, 10 and 11, you know, talks about how his plans stand forever. The plans of the Lord stand forever. The purpose of his heart are through all generations. So his promises are unchanging along with his personality being unchanging.
Yeah, and thank God his personality does not change, because we don't have to worry about waking up tomorrow. Well, I wonder if he's still going to be as merciful today as he was yesterday.
Right, right.
I wonder if he's going to be an angry God today. I wonder. So, I mean, stop and think. This is the only relationship that we have in life where we can approach it that way. Because there are days that I wake up and I'm in a foul mood. And there are days that I wake up and I'm like, oh, it's a great, great day today. And so we are constantly personality changing. I mean, yeah, there's an overriding personality that we probably stay in that most of the time. But you never know from situation to situation, from day to day, what we're going to be like. And so thank God his personality doesn't change. His scripture says this over in Hebrews, the same yesterday, today, he'll be the same forever. Right. But as you say, God's promises are unchanging. What do we mean by his promises? The Bible. The Bible, that is his promise book. It is unchanging. So when God says something, we can take it to the bank. We can hold on to it. We don't have to sit there and say, well, I'll give you an example. Like, I'll sit there and my wife will say, hey, Stephen, trash is overflowing. You know, trash needs to go out. And 2 days a week where I live, the trash truck comes by. And on Monday, you better make sure you get it out the night before, because they come by like 5 a.m. on Monday. And it's horrible when you wake up and you've got a trash can that is full and you're like, oh, man, I missed it. And it's not coming back till Thursday.
You are speaking truth in the Tucker household.
And you got that stench coming through the trash because you've thrown some old meat and stuff in there. And then it bakes for four more days in the Florida heat. And so she'll sit there. Hey, don't forget, you need to take the trash out. And by the way, you need to take the container to the street because he's going to come early in the morning. And I'd love to say that I all the time do exactly that. I will always respond, hey, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. And then.
I got it. I got it.
The fear. the fear and the disappointment that grips your soul when the trash truck wakes you up at 5 a.m. and you're like, oh, no, I forgot. I told her I would do it, and I forgot. Well, that never happens with God.
Right.
God never says something and doesn't follow through. He always – and check it out. It's not even a situation, because there are sometimes – I mean, I have great intentions. I mean, I fully mean to do it. And then unintentionally, I fail to deliver. That God never fails to deliver. God does not forget. God doesn't need that reminder on his phone, right?
Right.
Don't forget you got an appointment here tomorrow at this time. He does not change his mind. And so over in Psalm 33, it says this. It says, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. And so it's not just that we can sit here today in 2021 and say, you know what, you can believe God's promises. You can believe God's Bible. Our kids in 2051 can sit there and say, you can believe God's word. You can believe God's Bible and God's promises, the very same promises that we're believing now. And their kids, right, in 2081,
right,
can say the very same thing, because it's the very nature of him. His personality doesn't change. His promises do not change.
And that kind of leads into this thought of, okay, like something's happening. Like there, God has a plan, like obviously through the life of Moses, obviously through the way scripture is written and all these things, like there is a plan. Like, God has this unfolding plan that is about to happen.
Yeah, you look, well, when you're looking at Exodus 32, Ryan, you're like, okay, here's what appears happens. It appears as though God's getting ready to destroy his people, and then all of a sudden Moses comes, and Moses gets God to change his mind. It's like, okay, God, move on to plan B. I know you wanted to do plan A, but move on to plan B. Moses' prayer, okay, he calmed God down and God changed his mind. It's like Moses kept God from making a hasty decision.
But we know that's not right.
No, not at all. Not at all. If you look at the text there in Exodus 32, even in Moses' prayer, it's talking about the unchanging nature of God. Moses is, he's making an appeal, but his appeal is to God's unchanging character and God's unchanging plans.
So we have to look, again, at the context of everything that's being done, everything that's being said. Like, I know that people take the text and they look at it and they apply it the way they want to, but according to the text, according to the context, God is not changing his mind. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely, 100%. Okay. I mean, Moses is...
Well, I'm just making sure. Yeah. Like, that we're answering this question. I know that we may get some feedback, but in the context of Exodus, almost said Genesis, in the context of Exodus 32 and the way Moses is speaking and the things that God says, he's not changing his mind.
No. And I would say this, not only in the context of Exodus 32, in the context of Scripture as
all
a
throughout.
Whole,
yep.
Right? Because you're not going to sit here and see a God that is one way in Exodus 32 and see a God that's a different way over in Hebrews 4. He is the same God, right? Same character, same personality, same promises, in which, I mean, we welcome feedback. Absolutely, man. Shoot us your questions. And, you know, that's kind of why this podcast exists, is to get folks to think a little bit deeper, maybe try to answer or deal with questions that we deal with that we may struggle with. And so we welcome folks to kind of give us some feedback when it comes to this. Or there might be a question that gets birthed out of us asking a question. But I love this because Moses is sitting there and Moses is appealing to the unchanging nature of God.
Right.
So he's saying, God, I know you're a God of mercy.
Right.
I know you're a God of compassion.
Right.
Hey, God of mercy, compassion, and love, will you be compassionate? Will you allow mercy to reign and triumph over judgment? Because that's the God you are. You're not dominated by anger and rage. No, you are a God that loves to hand out grace. And so Moses is appealing to the unchanging nature of God. And, you know, it's interesting. You continue reading on Exodus chapter 34. God reveals himself to Moses, and Scripture says that Moses caught a glimpse of where God had been. And then the Scripture says, as the Lord passes him by, it says this, that he came down in a cloud, stood there with him, proclaimed his name, the Lord. He passed in front of Moses, saying, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. And so God's reminding him, yes, this is my personality. And Moses knew him. And so what does Moses do? Well, when the people that he is responsible for, by the way, he's their leader.
Right.
When he's up on top of the mountain meeting with God and they're down in the valley cohorting with the devil, he calls upon the grace of God. He appeals to the unchanging nature of God. And so in the passage, you see the nature of God that doesn't change, the personality, the promises that we just mentioned, because he's appealing to those in verse 13 in Exodus chapter 32. He even says, hey, Lord, you've never broken a promise. You're a promise-keeping God. Why should you start breaking your promises now? And it's like you get down to verse 13, right, in Exodus 32. We're doing pretty good, right? Defending God's unchanging personality, God's unchanging promises. And then we run smack dab into verse 14, and we have a big problem. Do you have it right there in front of you, Ryan? What's verse 14 say in Exodus 32?
It says, and the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people.
Relented. Now, the good news is relented is does not say, it says relented, it does not say changes his mind. But do you know what relented means? It means he changed his mind. That is exactly what relented means. But we would say this is where it gets tough, but this is where that the third truth comes into play. So we have the personality of God that's unchanging, promises are unchanging, and then God's got a plan.
Right. So what, and I kind of alluded to that earlier, but like what is that plan? Like what is that plan?
Whether it's multifaceted.
Okay.
You go back to Exodus 32, you kind of see this up close, that his plan is unfolding. And when we say that, what we're saying is that God's not just there saying, man, I hope the best happens. I mean, we're not suggesting that he's not under total control of the future. No, Isaiah 46:10 tells us he knows the end from the beginning.
Right.
So when we say that God's plan is unfolding, what does that mean? The first part, God must punish people for their sins. There's nobody that is real sneaky on earth and they get away with sin, they get away with theft, or they get away with murder, or they get away with gossip. You say, well, no, I know somebody that got away with theft. They may have gotten away with it with our judicial system. Nobody may have ever found out, but they don't get away with it when it comes to God. God punishes people for their sins. Verses 7 through 10, we've just read it there in Exodus 32. What you sow, well, that's kind of what you're going to reap. And so Israel, we would say, they're going to get what they deserve. I mean, stop and think. If we were God and we're up there and we're dealing with all these, for lack of a better word, people, and they're down on the mountain or in the valley, and they've made this false idol, this cow. I mean, you stop. Why are you going to worship a cow? I'm thinking, if I'm going to worship an animal, what, like an eagle? Or, you know, what about a lion or something? But I'm going to worship a cow. The way we approach that, where I live in Southport, Florida, we eat cows. We don't worship them. And so so here they are. And if I were God, I'd say, All right. Yeah. I mean, Moses hadn't been going any time at all. And look at what you are doing. All right, you're done. Bam, it's over. But he doesn't do that. He knows their sin. He's already predetermined he's going to punish sin. God's not bluffing.
Well, I mean, you said it, like, If he is true to his nature never changes. His plan is there. Like, that means he has to be faithful to judge. So, he is going to punish the people for their sins because it's his nature to be faithful in his judgment. It's his nature to be right in his judgment.
So the unfolding plan of God, he must punish people for their sins. But the second level, or the second layer, he provides a mediator. Mm. In this story, who's the mediator? The mediator's Moses. I mean, if we were reading this for the first time, or if we were watching this be played out on a television documentary or a movie or and it has been to some degree, but I'm talking about it staying exactly true to the scripture. I don't know about you, but I'd be sitting there. I don't even know that I could even eat my popcorn because of the tension that's right. happening right here. Like, oh, my goodness, here's this holy God, and we know he's against sin. There's no question, no doubt. They all knew he was against sin. I mean, if there was ever somebody that had a zero-tolerance policy, it was God when it comes to evil doers. He must punish sin. But then on the other hand of that, he's made a promise. I'm going to bless my chosen people here, the Israelites. I'm going to save them out of Egypt. I'm going to deliver them to the promised land. They weren't in the promised land yet. So how in the world can God be both just and merciful? Or how in the world can God bless sinful people? He provides a mediator.
And that's right? a question that I think people wrestle with today.
Absolutely.
Even in the, yeah, we're talking about, does God change his mind? But like, you dive into it, peel the layers back. Like, I've had people ask me, how can God be the God that he is? How can he do all these things? Like, I think people wrestle with that very simple thing that you just said.
Well, yeah. And when we say, how can God bless sinful people?
Yeah.
We never want to put ourselves in that category.
Right.
We're thinking about the really sinful people,
right.
as if we're a little sinful people. We know that any sin is what separates us from God, so we're all in that category. Yeah, God says, I'm going to bless. In Exodus 32, I'm going to bless my people, and they're sinful. He says, today, I want to bless you, but you're sinful. So how can I judge sin, and then how can I bless you? How can I show mercy and grace to you? There's going to have to be a mediator. There's going to have to be somebody that stands in the gap, right? And in Exodus 32, that's Moses.
Right. And that kind of displays God's mercy.
100%. There's Moses. The go-between these two parties. So you got sinful people, they're on one side, right? You got a holy God on the other side, and in the middle is a man of peace, and he comes along and he's like, all right, I'm gonna bring the two together. Matter of fact, verse 7 says, God speaks to Moses, and he says, go down, Moses. Go down, Moses. And God sending him.
Because they have corrupted themselves.
Right. God, stop and think. God didn't have to send him. God
right.
could say, Moses, you know those people down there? I mean, my goodness, they're worshiping a golden cow, Moses.
Like a hooligans.
A golden cow. I mean, you haven't been going any time at all. They've forgotten it all. Aaron is supposed to be making sure everything's good. Now, you know, he's falling right in. And Moses, I mean, you know, it's just so frustrating. I'm so fed up. Forget it, Moses. Stay up here with me. I'm just going to rain down fire. We'll get rid of all those rebellious sinners. And again, you know, we'll just kind of start this whole thing over with somebody that's devoted to me and somebody that really wants to honor me with their life. But he sends Moses down because he wanted Moses to stand in the gap. So this go between the two parties, right? The middle, right there. Go down. God doesn't have to send him. God sends him.
So since God is unchanging, like in his ways and his plans and his promises and his nature, God is unchanging. Like that should cause some praise for us. Like we get the chance to praise God because of who he is and what he's done. Man, that should cause a moment of praise and joy in our life because we come to the realization that God is never changing.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the natural byproduct or the response. But I don't want us to miss this. A lot of times folks will say, well, you know, God's plan was that man would man would live in perfect harmony with him. And so he created Adam and Eve, and he placed them in the garden, and there was no sin, and there everything was taken care of, and they walked with him in the coolness of the day, and they had a perfect relationship with God. But then sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, God's like, oh man, I got to come up with a different plan now, because sin has entered the world. I got to have a plan B. But God never has a plan B. It's always plan A. And so hear me, the gospel did not start in Matthew 1:1.
Right.
I mean, here's the gospel with a veil over it in Exodus 32. God's saying, here's a wicked, sinful people. Here I am, a holy, just God who is also merciful and compassionate and gracious. And you know what? I'm going to send my mediator, and he's going to come down to you. I love that. Oh, man. And maybe I'm reading more into this, Ryan. I get some things I get really excited about. God didn't say, hey, all y'all come on up here.
Right.
No, God said, I'm going to send my man down to them.
Yeah.
And he intercedes. Moses does on their behalf. And so it's the plan of redemption. It's the plan of stop and think, a compassionate God who must judge sin, and he satisfies his own wrath by sending a servant to mediate the covenant that he has made. And then when he gets to, we know that ultimately he would send not just any servant, he sent his own son. And let me just say, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus leaving heaven, coming to earth, coming down and taking our sin on himself and paying the price for our sin and mediating on our behalf and giving us an opportunity to receive grace and mercy and compassion and healing and forgiveness and heaven and abundant life is a plan from Genesis, and it's a plan even when the book of Revelation will play out. And it's still unfolding,
right,
in the world that we live in. The good news is it's not too late for anybody to get in on it. What results from that? We praise him. We praise him. And why do we praise him? There's a couple of reasons I'd say why we praise God. Because he's not changing.
Right.
He's not getting better. He's not getting worse. He's God. How scary would it be to serve a God who was in moral decline? He used to be generous, but he's not as generous as he used to be. Or, you remember back when God was loving? Man, God's selfish now, right? I mean, we couldn't stand on that. We don't want a God that changes or deteriorates with time. I mean, God can't get better, right? So what other option or direction could he go? But stop and think, we don't want the opposite either. We don't want a God that improves.
Right.
And so the very personality of God, the very promises of God, the very plan of God does not change.
Well, and I think you answered the question perfectly. We see time and time again through Scripture the perfect character of God and who he is and how he works. Just the fact that everything in Scripture points to Jesus and the work that was done on the cross. So we go back to the title. Does God change his mind? No, he doesn't. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And it is perfect in every way.
Well, and let's just say this before we close this podcast out, because as you mentioned, Ryan, one of the byproducts of us understanding that God is unchanging is we praise him, we give him glory and worship, but we also we pray, and this is where it gets a little confusing. Prayer is it's not a tool that we have for manipulating God. It's not a tool that we have to force God's hand. Prayer is not something that's been given to us so that we might inform God of what the better way is, because God may not be aware of the better way. Many folks think that God's kind of sitting up in heaven and God is depressed and God's just waiting for some person to voice the right prayer so that God can do what God really wants to do. And so hopefully that will happen. And that's just not the case. That is not the case. Scripture says God's ways are higher than our ways. His plans are greater than our plans. He knows exactly how his plan is going to unfold. So if that's the case, then the question is, well, what's the purpose of prayer? If it's all settled, then why in the world should we pray, right? Because prayer is the God-ordained means by which God accomplishes his plans. Let me say it another way. God has determined that he will work his plan through the prayers of his people. Because the thought can be, well, you know, if my prayers are not going to change God's mind, then my prayers are meaningless. No. Our prayers are meaningful. Our prayers alter the course of human history as God desires, as God's plans.
So prayer changes our heart.
100%, yeah. Prayer's God's way of drawing us right into the web of his work. Yeah, it's not about, oh, God, please change your plan, your will, your way. No, prayer does. It changes my desire. It changes my heart. But the reality is, and I say this understanding, by saying this, it seems as though it makes no sense. And I'm saying it as someone who says, yeah, this really makes no sense, but there are some things that happen that otherwise would not happen because we pray. And there are some things that do not happen that otherwise would happen because we pray. But it's not about us changing God's mind. It's about God already deciding, I am going to accomplish my plan through the prayers of my people. So we do that. We praise, we pray, and we proclaim God, right? He still got a mediator, and his name is Jesus.
And he is never, ever changing. So, Pastor Stephen, thank you again for your time. Thank you for just this discussion question. And as he mentioned earlier, if you have questions about anything on Scripture or the sermons that Pastor Stephen goes through, you can send your questions to podcast@highlandpark.org, and we will be able to look at those and hopefully be able to get those answered. So thank you for listening. Tune in next week as we discuss Pastor Stephen's sermon. So thank you.
Hi, this is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I want to thank you today for listening to our Unchangeable Truth podcast. Our prayer is that you have been challenged as well as encouraged as we study God's Word verse by verse. If you're ever in the Panama City area, we would love for you to come and worship with us in person at Highland Park Baptist Church, 2611 Highway 231 North in Panama City. If you want to learn more about our ministry and about our church, we would encourage you to go to our website, www.highland, and that's H-I-L-A-N-D, park, P-A-R-K.org. If you have any questions or any comments about today's podcast, feel free to shoot us an email at info@highlandpark.org. That's H-I-L-A-N-D-P-A-R-K.org. Our prayer is that you would continue to draw close to God. And if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, please reach out to us and let us share with you the greatest story that's ever been told. God bless.